Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
You can't sell the truth to others while hiding it from yourself. Have you ever thought about that? I am excited to introduce you to our next guest. His name is Hirsch Repume. His company is Yes Brand Builders, and we are going to talk about this very subject. So, Hirsch, welcome to the show. We're thrilled to have you.
Thanks, Jeannie. It's great to be with you both.
Today's episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and promising yourself you'll deal with it later, you're not broken. You're normal. Join us for a free live masterclass to learn a simpler way to bring clarity and relief. Visit lessmathmoremoney.com, and we look forward to seeing you there.
We're thrilled. Hirsch, tell us a little bit about how you got into branding, how Yes Brand came about. Just a little bit about your backstory.
The backstory is eclectic and interesting, I have to say, because there was never a plan to get into branding or advertising. I did love ads when I was a kid. I loved making fun of ads and spoofing ads, but I really thought I was going to go more into the theater and stand-up comedy. That was what I expected to do. And in fact, I did that in New York when I was in college. But while I was at School of Visual Arts and I was studying screenwriting and I was studying acting, the chairman of the school said, "Why don't you take an advertising course?" And I assumed he meant copywriting. And he said, "Not necessarily copywriting. Take a producing course because you have a really good sales mind. You have a really good mind for putting things together." He's like, "You could sell a line on a piece of paper." And I remember that statement, and it didn't resonate with me because I was like, "I'm not a salesman. I'm an artist. I'm a performer." But whatever it was, I think it was the sincerity that he tapped into. And that goes to directly the line that Jeannie mentioned, which is, if you are hiding the truth from yourself, you can't sell it. And so even though I didn't go into advertising proper, I started working for a director's rep. So these reps that would represent directors of TV commercials. And that gave me access to a level of talent I never would have dreamed of. If I had tried to get a job in Hollywood or in New York and in the literary scene, whatever it was, I wouldn't be in the proximity of filmmakers the way I was in New York at this stage in my career. We represented the Coen brothers for commercials, Jodie Foster for commercials. So I had access in a way that you wouldn't ordinarily get. And not only that, but because I was creative and I was a writer and I was a performer, they would look at me not like a salesman. And that was the thing that clicked. I started writing their bios. I started doing promotion for them. There were no publicists in that niche. And that was where it clicked. And I became the publicist for filmmakers in the advertising community. And that was the thing that really clicked. And from that moment on, which is whatever, 24 years, from that moment on, the brand aspect really factored in. But that foundation was laid there. So even though I went on to work for sneaker companies, consumer brands, and fitness brands, even though I did that, the people were always what really got me excited. And that's where Yes Brand Builders really came from. The idea of Yes Brand comes from the Yes And rule of improv, which is you never say no to an idea, basically. And I really believe that we don't tell clients, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to be, this is what you're going to believe. We just reveal that. We reveal that to them. Again, going back to Jeannie's opening, we build on what's true about the client, and that's where it all has to start.
I think that's so interesting. I love how so many entrepreneurs have a very windy road to end up where they are, but it's all that experience from different niches and different industries and different passions that really gives you such a unique perspective for people. So when you talk about the truth, can you define that? And it sounds, person, you at this age of your life, you should know what the truth is. How do you define it with your business?
But Kirsten, that is a central tenet of selling the truth is, and I write about this in my book, In Selling the Truth, which is that we live in this kind of post-truth world. We don't know for sure what's what. And the fact that we have to cobble together our own version of reality makes it very challenging. But the line that I keep coming back to now, which is the name of one of my podcasts, my first podcast, Truth Tastes Funny, is that we have to digest the truth no matter what. but we have to establish what it is first. And that's what I focus on in my work. So when you say, what is the truth? What I interpret the truth as is what the audience perceives based on what you're putting out there. So for work purposes, for the purposes of business, if let's say that I'm a novelist, it doesn't matter what I say. What matters is, what is the audience perceiving? Are they really looking at me and saying, yeah, that's a novelist? Are they looking at me and saying, that's a guy who wants to be a novelist? Are they looking at me and that's a guy who wrote one book, or that's a guy who writes a ton of books? So the audience perception is what becomes real, because for all intents and purposes, that's what we are. We are what people perceive at first contact. The first impression, you know, that line, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. That's the truth. That's the truest thing ever. People see a profile, or they hear about us from someone, or they talk to a client that we worked with. Whatever that is, that's it. That's the first impression. That's what they think we are.
That's so true and so hard, because you have so many facets to your personality, and you just explaining where you started, you've got so much experience in different places. And sometimes I think we want to throw it all out there because we want them to see how wide and how interesting our life has been. But it's all about what their perception is of who we are. And I love that. And that's hard to sometimes get across.
Yeah, it is. And also, I'm a big advocate of using all those things. I have an article coming out tomorrow that is about the marketplace's view of you may not be wrong. It just may be incomplete. In other words, it may see you as whatever, but it doesn't see you as everything. It sees you as a neurologist, doesn't see you as the person who invented this surgery or device. So we have to take all the things that make us who we are and create a 360 vision, a portal that really encapsulates everything, but doesn't use all the words. And that's what I specialize in, so that when people will hear about my client, no matter where they hear about it, no matter who they meet that person through, they're going to get that capsule version that is going to open the door to everything that person is, to what I call the category of one. We should all be a category of one.
Can you share a story with us, without any names, of course, of someone who, and essentially was struggling about figuring out the truth about themselves and figuring out what was relative and what was not to their original story, to their story that would brand them? Can you share something of a story for us?
Yeah. And obviously, there are many ways that this manifests itself. And sometimes the image that people have just hasn't caught up. Like we were talking about before we started, we were talking about our podcast and how they have to keep evolving to catch up to us and our careers and how we're evolving. Sometimes it's an evolutionary gap. Sometimes it's, like I said about the neurologist, sometimes it's not that they are wrong about who you are, but they just don't know what makes you special. But the example I'll give you is, because it's very top of mind, I just recently worked with an author who happens to be a trauma psychologist, but was not looking to publish the book because she wants more clients. She's transitioning from serving clients one-on-one to thought leadership. And not only that, but her thought leadership, we discovered in the process, she was like, I don't know why, but this isn't hitting. It's not wrong, but it's not hitting right. It's being introduced as trauma psychologist working with this kind of patient or this kind of client. And she's like, that's not what the book is about. And I realized through working with her that the book was about community, that the story itself, the story about community, the trauma that her client experienced was not really the central aspect. So here you have a progenitor of trauma psychology and wanting to teach a new generation of trauma psychologists, but at the same time, not doing it through clinical means, but doing it through lived experience in community and how community heals. So that is something that wouldn't occur to people just from a conversation or from a strategy. The strategy had to come from the truth. The truth started with, I don't want clients anymore. What do you want? I want to teach up-and-coming psychologists, what do you want to teach them? I know I want to teach them a different way of approaching their craft, their field, but here's my book. and what is the book? And then when I read the book, I was like, you realize the book has no real trauma psychology in it. There's nothing. If you're studying trauma psychology, you will learn nothing, let's say, from that book. But if you go into it saying, I want to see how one human being can change the world based on the people they connect with and how that happened to a trauma psychologist, that's the story. And she was like, oh my God, that's amazing, because it's who I am. And that's what I think we're missing in the world a lot, is seeing one another, not the way we want to strategically be seen, but seeing one another in truth, and then getting to have that truth be the reality that forms around us.
And I think you said before, the problem with, we can't brand ourselves, I always like to brand ourselves, we can't really, right, if we don't know who we are. And like you said, because of her background as a clinical psychologist and those types of things, she was really grounded in that. That was her identity for so long.
Yeah.
That it was hard to learn this new identity of who she was so she could bring out that new truth. I think we've all probably been there more than once as we're building our business, because things, like you said, evolve and change. If someone is at a place where they're feeling like their messaging or something is off, something doesn't feel, maybe the word complete is the right word, how would you have them look at themselves and try to discover, is there something missing? Do they need to know something internally about themselves to shift their messaging so that would connect more with their ideal client?
Yeah, it's a great question, because one of the things that, if you look at profiles and you hear people, it's not even so much in how people talk. First of all, the fact that there's a disparity between what's in my profile and how I talk is already like a red flag. And you'll notice, so I would say to someone, look at whatever profile you're most active on, because maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's LinkedIn, maybe it's TikTok, maybe it's Substack, but wherever you feel most connected, look at that profile and see if it actually is how you would explain yourself. Because what a lot of people will notice is it reads more like a resume, a list of accomplishments, superlatives about what I do, sales, an ad, whatever. But when you ask them to say, oh, what do you do? Or who are you? They will go into a long story, because I think we have this desire to share who we are. We really want to. We want to share our mission. We don't want to talk necessarily about ourselves. Oh, I did this and I did that. Most people don't do that. They say, I work with people who do this. I'm trying to help them do this because so many people don't understand this. But all that big mess of everything could be sorted. The first step would be look at how you describe yourself and how you, in writing and in documentation and referral and all your website, how you really describe yourself or are described, and see what the gap is, because that gap might be a key to why there's a gap in your audience. I talk about this first contact interpretation that speaks to, down the line, why sometimes PR isn't working, why marketing isn't working, why deals aren't closing or moving. Why did this person not move or close when I did everything right on the call? It may not be the call. It may be the first contact, the first time that you were referred to them, or they were referred to you, or they read about you, that doesn't jive with what you're doing on the phone. And maybe that person on the phone was the right vibe and the thing back there was a little off.
You have to have so much fun working with people.
That's the reason to do it, is to enjoy it and feel fulfilled by it.
Yeah, and I think it's hard. I hate to say, sound like my mom. People of a certain age who didn't start out living out loud on social media to get across what they believe, but not be like, I don't want to be the focus of everything. So it's a balance.
There's an interesting point in there, is that we don't necessarily want to be famous. Not everybody who needs to be out in front of their mission or their brand wants to be a star.
Just rich. Not
rich. Yeah, I don't put rich and famous in the same category. But and often the people that want to be famous are sacrificing the opportunity to be rich, to be famous, because they're grasping at something that is so hard to achieve sometimes. But I also say that a lot of the people that want to be famous or want to be known already are. They get that. May not be exactly what they want or whatever, but it's the people who want something different who don't realize that the only way they're going to achieve it is by getting out in front of it. And so they have to use their skills as an orator. They have to use their personality, their networking ability, their schmoozing ability. They have to use all that whether they like to or not. And I call it egoless fame. I tell my clients, look, you're going to be well known for this. And it's not going to be that you have a big ego. It's going to be because the mission is important to you. And you have to be in front of it so that other people will understand it and believe it.
Do you feel like part of the times we can't sell the truth because we're lying to ourselves? Not conscious, yes. But maybe subconsciously?
Yeah. There's a chapter in my book called A Lie is a Wish Your Heart Makes. Based on that, the Disney song, I think from Cinderella, maybe, A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. So a lie is a wish your heart makes, which is that we're coming from the place of we want things to be a certain way, or we want to be a certain way. And it's not aspiration, it's simply false. I use the example in the book of little white lies that we tell ourselves that become true to us. So in other words, this is an example that's big enough that we can see the lines, right? So let's say that I have a lot of psychology in my book, right? And I say to myself, I'm an amateur psychologist, right? I'm an amateur psychologist. It starts with that. And then I say, look, in psychology, I took psychology. I'm basically a psychologist. And now it's grown this fib that I'm actually relying on my credibility now as a psychologist, right? And you don't need a degree to call yourself a psychologist, technically, but you're lying to yourself. Now you're building this thing on psychology and the psychologist and all this stuff. So it's like, why do that? Why not come to terms with who you are at the very beginning? Okay. And it could be your brand. You could say your brand is that you're an amateur psychologist who just is completely obsessed with the human mind, right? You have no degree, you have no education in that field, but that's who you are. That's your real brand. Okay. Don't make up stuff and then try to get into the murky water of fooling yourself and trying to fool others.
Yeah, it's interesting. We can all do that, right? I look at people who end up getting every certificate, you look at their accomplishments, the things that they've done. And it's crazy because a lot of times the client doesn't care about that. They just want to know, can you solve their problem? But they're leading with all of this information and education, which of course, education and information are important, but it can also feel very forced. Like maybe you don't have a passion or you don't have this obsession over it. And so you just keep getting these additional certifications and things like that. Is that something people do, is trying to prop themselves up so their story can match who they think they should be?
Yeah, that's going pretty deep into their psyche about it. But what I do notice is if they're putting the emphasis on those things, like I have a friend who has probably 17, 18 degrees and they're all on his LinkedIn. And in a way, that's a distinction of its own. You're the guy with the most degrees in the world. But the thing is that I'm like, everybody who has one of those degrees, you're putting yourself in that basket. Wouldn't it be better to say, here's who I really am. And then just underneath that level, I happen to have certifications in this, degrees. It's like, it's too many things to try to define yourself, to split yourself into. And if you have two or three degrees, as you say, they're certifications, not character descriptors. As we all know, you could be the most honest and have the most integrity as a lawyer in the world, or you could be the most corrupt and the most dishonest, and you could still have a degree from the same place. So what does that really mean? And my feeling on that is that it just doesn't reveal enough about who we are.
Yeah, I remember somebody bringing this up and they said, yes, they are a doctor, but are they a good doctor or are they bad? You got the letter, right. But that doesn't have anything to do with, like you said, your integrity and who you are and what your passion is.
Yeah. Hirsch, if people want to work with you, tell us a little bit about how do you work with your clients and then tell everyone how they can get in touch with you.
Thank you, Kirsten. Yeah, so the way I work with my clients is I really do start with the friction that they're experiencing. So I'm not like a sundry store where people wander in and they're like, ooh, I could use a hat with a visor on it. Nobody comes to me for that. The simplest way I put it is if you're having a lot of trouble explaining what you do and it's costing you opportunities, I fix that. So that really speaks to the swath of stuff that I work on, but I work in focused sessions. So they could be a really important transformative 3-hour session or a half day session. It's not based on the time. It's based on the complexity and the scope and scale of what they're dealing with. But that is what I do. There are people who have a project that's going to need a few months of work with me, but I'm an advisor. So the difference I see between advisors and consultants is advisors help you make decisions. Consultants provide information. I'm really about helping you make that decision and then devising a strategy around how to implement it. And all of that good stuff is on yesbrandbuilders.com. So if they go to yesbrandbuilders.com, it really, I think, gives you a sense of how I work and is working with me probably the next step for you. And then all the podcast stuff and the book stuff and everything else is there too.
Tell us again what your book is called.
The book is called Selling the Truth, a Memoir with Insights for Life and Business. And I call it a memoir because it's like a semi-memoir. I include stories from my life, but only as pertains to the subject matter.
I've never heard that before. I love it.
I made that up. And I'm proud of that because it does get an immediate response from people. Either they want to know what it is or they get it and they're like, wow, I never heard that before. And that fits into my worldview, which is that category of one worldview. You have stuff about you that is totally unique. Don't worry where those things don't align with other people's boxes that they've used.
And Hirsch, tell us what your podcast is called.
One podcast is called Truth Tastes Funny, which is evolving into a show really for general audiences. It's not a business show, but it is about how do we understand and misunderstand one another in terms of what we're trying to communicate and what the other person takes away. What do we think we're saying versus what are they hearing? And then Yes Brand is focused on people who are building their brands. I have experts on occasionally, but mostly it's people who have built their own businesses and have either pivoted or are doing something new. And there's some real stakes involved if they are misunderstood. And so Yes Brand, the podcast, is really specific examples of a business where either are taking a risk and they don't know how it's going to turn out, or they took a risk and here's how it turned out. So that's a fun show.
I love that. So we will put all those links in the show notes so that our listeners can find you everywhere. So I just can't thank you enough for joining us today, Hirsch. This has been so fantastic. And I know people who are listening are going to walk away with such great information. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.